I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Our theme this month is praying for victory. The Bible teaches us that we are in a spiritual warfare. And I'd like to spend a few moments this morning looking at this chapter once again. You might recall a number of weeks ago we looked at chapter 23 of 1 Samuel and the life of David. There are some further lessons I'd like for us to note this morning concerning victory over our arch enemy. That's the title of my sermon this morning, Victory Over Our Arch Enemy. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 14 and 15. The Bible reads, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph. In a wood." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith that was once delivered unto us as saints. And Lord, we thank you for those that have gone before us, for many that have given their life for what they believe. And what was true. And I pray this morning as we assemble around your word and as we consider our victory in Christ Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more mindful of the battle that is before us. And Lord God, we claim that victory in our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need, in the name of our lovely Saviour, we do ask and pray. Amen. Victory over our arch enemy. Within this chapter, we find King Saul aggressively pursuing David. To what end? He's out to kill him. At this time, David's arch enemy is Saul. The word archenemy means one that is extremely hostile in opposing someone or something. The devil is known as the archenemy of God and his people. In fact, it was of interest to me that as I looked up the word archenemy in a common dictionary, it gave that definition, one that is extremely hostile in opposing someone or something. And then the definition within this secular dictionary said, made the statement, the arch enemy, the devil. So the world even understands that the devil is the arch enemy. The devil is known as our arch enemy. He opposes God, he opposes the people of God. His ultimate goal is no different to Saul's goal at this time. In John chapter 10, the Bible teaches us the devil comes to kill and to destroy, but the Lord Jesus said, "I've come to give life, and life more abundantly." And as we consider the subject of victory this month, I'd like for us to consider some important lessons concerning spiritual warfare. We all have trials in our lives, because we're in a warfare. We have a spiritual enemy. And we live in a world full of sin. And there is a connection between this spiritual warfare and the trials that you and I experience day by day, moment by moment. And therefore the Bible rightfully reads in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be vigilant. Be sober. Because the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'd like for us to note some principles of spiritual warfare from this chapter. And I trust it might refresh our mind. It might teach us this morning concerning the battle that rages, whether you realize it or not. And the first lesson I'd like for us to note this morning concerning the spiritual warfare that we are in is that we have a determined enemy. We have a determined enemy that will not give up. Note there in verse number 14, concerning Saul, the Bible teaches us, and Saul sought him, that is David, every day. Saul desired to kill David. And this was not a passing casual desire. He was determined. He was consumed with this goal. Every day, the Bible teaches us, he plotted, planned, and his ultimate goal was to destroy David. And my friend, as we serve the Lord, we likewise have an aggressive enemy, the devil, who is out to destroy the obedient child of God. He's relentless. And just like the Bible teaches us that Saul sought David daily, and Saul sought him every day, so likewise our arch enemy, the devil, is constantly pursuing, wanting to destroy the work of God, wanting to put to naught the child of God. Our determined enemy uses people to try to destroy the obedient child of God. Note here that Saul was corrupt in character in wanting to kill David. He had no justification. He knew that this was God's appointed new king. Saul had no justification to kill David. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments teaches us, thou shalt not kill. Saul was corrupt in character. And my friend, our determined enemy, who will not let go, who will not give up, in trying to destroy you and destroy me from following God fully, he uses people of corrupt character. Saul rejected the good Lord, and thereby he became corrupt in mind, he became corrupt in word, and he became corrupt in deed. Please, Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Romans chapter 1. Gives us some insight concerning the depravity of man. May I submit to you this morning that the devil uses people to oppose the work of God. Note here in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Let's read together verse 25, please. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man is depraved with a sinful nature. In the book of Romans chapter 3, in verse number 10, the Bible reads, there is none righteous, no, not one. We have a determined enemy. His name is the devil. That's one of his many names. And he uses people of corrupt character to oppose the work of God. The devil uses unbelievers to oppose the work of God. In fact, he even uses immature Christians to oppose the work of God. And Saul is a fitting picture of these people that the devil uses to oppose the work of God. In other words, most of our spiritual attacks will come by, listen to me, will come by individuals used by the evil one. The devil will not make a public appearing in your life. He comes as an angel of light. The devil uses sinful and immature people in combating the people of God. The devil is relentless. The spiritual warfare that we are in, brethren, we have a determined enemy. And I wish God's people, I would hope that God's people will be mindful of that. Amen. You and I have a habit of clocking off and clocking on spiritually. May I submit to you that the devil works around the clock and he is determined to destroy the child of God, the work of God, and he uses people. The devil was using Saul to destroy the work of God. But secondly, I'd like for us to note concerning this spiritual warfare they were in, not only is the devil determined to destroy the work of God and the people of God, he not only uses people, but also he uses powers. Saul had a corrupt monarchy, a corrupt government. Though he was king, are you listening to me? Though he was king, he abused, he misused, he corrupted the dignity of the kingship by using his time, using his authority, using his manpower. Instead of serving the people of God, he has channeled the monarchy, all that authority and power that he has, towards the killing of an innocent man. My friend, the Bible teaches us the devil is the prince and power of the air. He works through organizations. He works through institutions. He works through religious groups. He works through authority structures to oppose the work of God. We have a determined enemy, brethren. I wish we would get that point. He is determined to destroy your Christian life. But let me encourage you that God delivered David each time from the hand of Saul. And greater is he that is in you as a Christian than he that is in the world. And brethren, we must understand that we have a determined enemy. He uses people of corrupt nature to oppose the work of God. But the devil also uses powers, the power of media, to oppose the work of God. The power of sports and sports personalities to oppose the work of God. He The devil uses the education system. From the public education system through to the universities to oppose the work of God. The devil is active, my friend. And he's not silly. He's pretty smart. And he makes his way into main positions of authority and power in order to oppose the work of God. Instead of Saul using his kingship to serve his people, he was driven by his own selfish passions. The needs of his country were on the back burner, so to speak. Saul employed his army, many officials, to what end? To chase one man. How ridiculous. This is shameful. A waste of manpower and money. And I'm mindful of many of the institutions and government authorities that prevail today. Instead of serving you and I, and the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 13, the whole idea of civil government is that the Bible teaches us they are the ministers of God, and they are to serve people. But this is not what we see today. On the whole, we see a spattering of it, I guess. But on the whole, we see civil government, we see authority structures from the education system, for example, that opposes the work of God. We as Christians not only face individuals that oppose us, but also we as Christians face authorities that are fueled by godless values opposing us. We face corrupt people, corrupt systems that are at war with the people of God. We live in a day in which people are calling evil good and good evil. People are calling the evil of a de facto relationship as acceptable. No, it is not. It is sin. It is fornication. It is a violation of the marriage covenant that God has ordained. For a man and woman to live together, that is sin. Abortion is murder. It is not a choice, freedom, choice of life. Evolution is not science. Evolution is evolution. There is no solution in evolution. It has no answers. There are no solutions. And we live in a day where a devil is determined to oppose the work of God, and he's using corrupt people, he's using corrupt authority to oppose God's people. A day in which good is spoken of as evil. How ridiculous. For the world to think that spanking a child is evil. My Bible teaches me it's proving that child that you love them. And I charge you, parent, if you do not spank your child, you are telling your child, I don't love you. That's what the Bible teaches. We're not talking about abusing children. That's nonsense. God provide a blessed assurance. The seed of assurance, the seed of learning. You know where that is. It's well padded. It's the seed of learning. And when you apply the wisdom of a rod, you'll be amazed what will happen. Christians educating their children in the authority of the Word of God, seemingly evil in our day. preaching the fundamental truths of the Bible, such as the doctrine of hell, is scoffed upon and seen upon as evil. Listen, my friend, I'm so thankful that I can read labels on products and there are warning signs concerning those products. I'm thankful that as I drive my car on a road, there are warning signs telling me, be careful, slow down, danger ahead. And when you and I preach the doctrine, the Bible doctrine of hell, that there is a literal hellfire place, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, we are conveying love because we are sharing with people the fact they can avoid that place and go to a place called heaven. Boy, we live in a wicked day, do we not? A day in which people are calling evil good and good evil. But I'm so thankful that greater is he that is in me as a Christian than he that is in the world. My friend, we have a determined enemy. This determined enemy, the devil, uses people, uses those in authority to oppose the work of God. Our enemy will not give up. I'm sorry about that. That's the cold, hard facts. Let's go to Luke, please. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Verse number 13. From verses 1 to 13, we have a record of the confrontation of our Lord by the devil himself. And note then, verse 13, it reads, "And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a," let's read it together, "season," for a time, not permanently. That's why the Bible teaches us that we need to be vigilant. We need to be sober-minded. Because we have a determined enemy, my friend. And the devil uses people, and the devil uses powers to oppose the work of God. Now back in 1 Samuel chapter 23, the second main lesson I'd like for us to note concerning spiritual warfare, main lesson number one, and that is we have a determined enemy. He uses people, he uses government or authorities to oppose the work of God. But the second main lesson I'd like for us to stress this morning concerning the spiritual warfare that we are in, and that is there are discomforts in warfare. Spiritual warfare was never meant to be comfortable. Note then, verse 15, the Bible teaches us, "And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life." Saul made life miserable for David. And may I submit to you, my friend, the devil will try and make your life miserable. Warfare is not pleasant. The very word warfare does not convey a bed of ease. Does not convey luxury, comfort. The word conveys pressure, danger, pain, suffering, strain, discomfort. That's the warfare that we're in. We have a determined enemy. Children, listen to me this morning. We have a determined enemy. His name is the devil. He uses people. He uses powers, people in authority to oppose the work of God. But also as we consider the spiritual warfare that we are in, brethren, we must be mindful and except the fact that this warfare, this battle that we are in, is not a bed of ease. There are discomforts. Now, what sort of discomforts did David experience as he was being attacked by Saul? Well, he was discomforted in the realm of his housing. He was on the run, was he not? He was forced to leave his family, his usual home, his surroundings. And here we find David tracking through the wilderness of Judea, fleeing from mountain to mountain, cave to cave, running for his dear life. And Saul. He was unsettled, no doubt. And one of the discomforts that you and I will experience in warfare is this feeling of unsettlement, not feeling settled. My friend, the Bible teaches us that we are called upon to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. And that might mean that you and I might have to leave the comforts of our familiar surroundings and enter a battlefield that is not so comfortable. But I'm so thankful that as a child of God, I have an eternal home. The Lord Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, a mansion. And I'm coming again, and one day I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. So even though we do experience a measure of discomfort as a child of God, I'm so thankful that we have an eternal home to look forward to. On Wednesday night, we had the privilege of having the Kaufmans here, ministering there in Zambia. What a needy place. And I can assure you, they are not living in the lap of luxury. Many, many years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of entering their home when they used to live in Nimbin. He was saved out of the hippie movement. Wonderful testimony. They lived very simply. And there they are, ministering in Zambia to very needy people, of which the average person lives to no more, on average, the average person doesn't reach the age of 40. And my friend, when you and I are prepared to enter the battlefield and into that battle that God's called us to, you might experience a bit of discomfort.
Yes.
Are you prepared to? Are you prepared to take up your cross and follow the Lord, no matter what discomforts are before you? I'm also mindful of the discomfort that David experienced within the realm of, he was humbled. He made a huge mistake back there in chapter 22 because of his deceitfulness. Over 80 priests were killed. And there in chapter 22, verse 22, he said, it's because of me all of these individuals have lost their lives. And as David was running for his dear life, wandering in the wilderness, no doubt he was humbled. The very man that was once upon a time a hero is now hunted down. The very man that once upon a time was praised is now pursued. When you and I are in the midst of spiritual warfare, we might find ourselves humbled a little. David was humbled. He was unsettled. But also note in verse number 13, please, of chapter 23, that David had 600 men with him. 600 men. So So David had the responsibility of all of these men. Moving from place to place would have been difficult. But envision moving from place to place with 600 men. I think that would be a fairly visible sight. 600 men marching through the mountains of Judea. I'd say it'd be pretty difficult to hide. Are you with me? And David had that responsibility. These 600 men. He had the responsibility of providing their needs. They entrusted their care to him. Had a huge responsibility upon his shoulders. And my friend, when you and I consider the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare, there are some discomforts that we've got to endure. The discomfort of possibly being taken from our place of security. The discomfort of being humbled. The discomfort of bearing a responsibility at the same time. And if you choose to live godly, you will suffer persecution. There will be discomforts. The devil will make sure of that. But in closing, here in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, at the end of verse 14, the Bible reads, "And God delivered him not into his hand, even though Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." Now let me close, please, with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 13. "There hath no temptation or testing, trial, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted or tested or tried above that you are able. But," let's read together, "but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God promises deliverance. And even though Saul pursued David daily, the Bible teaches us that God provided deliverance for David. In Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And all of God's people said. My friend, we have a determined, listen to me, a determined enemy. He uses people. He uses people in authority to oppose the work of God. I wish we would catch that. He won't give up. If the devil only left our Lord alone for a season, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's not going to leave you alone. And there are some discomforts that you and I need to be prepared to digest. Because if you're serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ, If you're serious about taking up your cross and following him, there will be some discomforts. You might be called upon to go to a land that is not your ideal oasis. You might be called upon to minister to people that are just not like you. There are some discomforts. You might be humbled. And there might be some burdens that you'll have to bear. Aside from the immediate pressure that you're under. My friend, we're in a spiritual warfare. But don't lose sight of the fact that God delivered David each time from the hand of Saul. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And my friend, we have victory in Christ Jesus. Even though we have a determined foe, we are on the winning side. We are on the winning side. And may God help us to walk in obedience to his will. Please don't have the answer. You know, pastor, it's not worth it. It's so hard living the Christian life. My friend, it would be harder not living the Christian life. You think it's tough serving the Lord? It's tougher not serving the Lord. Because the Bible teaches us the way of the transgressor is hard. And believe you me, it's harder. Harder. I know the Christian life's hard, but it's harder to live like the devil. Because he pays in counterfeit money. So let's rejoice in the fact that we're on the victory side. And let's claim and pray for that victory. And just like God delivered David from the claws of Saul time and time again, God will deliver you. So may God encourage your heart with that fact this morning. Let's bow for prayer.